Well, good morning. Got a couple of things I want to share with you as we get started. One thing is that parts of today, I'm not exactly sure how this is going to go. I don't know. But I know where I'm going to start. I hope that you don't think that I'm being an alarmist when I share this with you today. And I hope that you hear the spirit in which I'm going to share what I'm going to share. And then I hope that you'll help along the way. I am not coming at this from a viewpoint of a victim. I want you to understand that from the beginning. You and I are not victims. We are children of the King. We have the Spirit of God within us and upon us. And we have authority and responsibility. In the middle of that, it makes what I want to share that much more important. Now, I'm going to tell you. Here's the second thing I have to tell you. If you've been around since 2005, you've heard us preach this before. But I'm going to handle it a little differently. We're going to start with 2 Chronicles 7:13 and 14. That's why it's up here on the screen. We've had this as a theme verse for a year. We've preached it other times. But folks, right now, where we are, what we are dealing with, and who we are, if we're going to be honest, we have to say that if you look at what's going on in our culture, in our nation, we are broken. We are fragmented. We are divided. We are being pitted against one another at every juncture. There is Republican versus demagogue. There is liberal versus conservative. There is poor versus rich. Now I'm going to tell you, the people who are trying to pit us against one another are not serving the living God. I don't care what side you take. It is not holy. They are trying to break us down. They are not trying to lift us up. And I don't care what view you have. Any polar opposites that exist in our culture right now that are trying to garner your attention and your loyalty and your allegiance are trying to do so at the exclusion of a holy God. Because of that, this verse has got to be where we begin. Now, you'll notice that in this verse, in this passage, when God spoke this, that it was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. That when we come before Him and we humbly seek Him, and He is the Lord of our lives, and we have the Spirit of God in us, we now have access to, in a way, that this verse, when it was originally delivered, these people did not have that kind of access. And now we have a personal access, which puts even more weight on our shoulders, not to see ourselves as victims, but to see ourselves as the people of God on mission in the middle of where we are. So, what God told the Israelites was, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people. Now, those are bad things, aren't they? Okay? Why would God allow those things to happen? Get attention. Okay.
Turn the people back.
Now, That is not to say that every bad thing that happens is God punishing us or disciplining us. But when the people of God are rebellious, He loves us enough to treat us like children that belong to Him. So in that case, He will allow things into our lives that will drive us back to our Father. Because they will put us in situations that we are no longer capable of dealing with ourselves. Are we facing that kind of stuff now? We just have to be honest. We don't even know what to do in Syria. We can't do a good thing. We can't have a good choice. Look at where we are. God has allowed us in this situation because He wants to drive us to seek Him. And we as His people, we need to be the ones who are seeking Him and leading others to do that. And so He says, if my people, the people that belong to Him, the people that He loves, the people that He's put to be on mission and to change the world because we're the hands and feet of Jesus now, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, yes, us, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. It's not on somebody else. You can't expect broke folk to fix being broke. You have to have people who know the healer who are healed being the ones who go into the world to effect healing. That's you and me. And the thing that we have that, two things that we have that are powerful in our corner. One is the living God who lives in us, and two is, we remember what it's like to be broke because we know we're still not perfect. We are not perfect. We are not too good to be in the world. So, having said all of that, let's look at this from a couple of angles. Now, angles aren't necessarily new. Again, I'm confessing that. First screen up there, Gary, please. Next one there. Ta-da. All right. I'll do it. And then if you can catch up to me, you can catch up to me. Number one, the focus of this passage is on God healing the land, right? What does land represent? What do you think? That word. People, nation, okay? Pretty wide swath there, right? So it's the people, it's the way the people are organized, and then everything that has to do with the influence, even the government of the people, right? All that could be included in that word, land. For us, in this passage, and fulfilled in Jesus Christ, we see that healing is something that God promises. He promises this in this passage. If, then. So the promise is the then part. He will heal the land if we will do the humbling part, the seeking part, the praying part. How much would we honestly say we have humbled, sought God, and prayed? If you counted how much I'd do it, I'd be embarrassed. But it's a promise. Well, I've got a couple of questions, and then we'll see where I go with this. This is where I'm kind of not sure how this is going to go. First question up there. Why don't we trust God to heal? We've been told that doctors heal, so we don't trust God to heal. Mm-hmm. He doesn't heal on demand. His way is not our way. His will is not our will. Okay, as we say that, what is it that is God's highest, you hear me say this all the time, what is God's greatest good for you and me? That we would be like Jesus. Be like Jesus. Okay, did God remove all the ugly stuff from Jesus' experience? Okay, so he was persecuted, he was mistreated, he was even put to death, right? So we can't have a Pollyannish view of what it means to follow Jesus and think that to be a follower of Jesus means all the bad stuff gets sucked out of our life and we don't have to worry about it anymore. Isn't it good? Because I've known people who kind of thought that that's what it was all about. So it comes back to that, why don't we trust God to heal? To heal our land, to heal us individually. And we have to ask the question. Because you see, there are other places right now in the world that if we ask that question, they don't have a problem. And they're seeing people who are sick, get up and walk the next day, and they're done. They're fine. And they're seeing people who were pronounced dead come back to life. But we're not. Yes.
I believe that America has a problem with the microwave, that we don't want to spend the time with Jesus there, so we want him to do it right then, and if he doesn't do it right then,
spiritual ADD. We have spiritual ADD. We want God to do it now, and if he doesn't do it now, we'll go find another way to do it.
Right.
And it's in our control. So one reason we don't trust God to heal is because we don't want to take time to let God do what he wants to do in his timing. Okay? Because to us, we interpret healing to be when we put the prayer coin in the machine and we pull out that little arm, we expect that the answer to our prayer is going to come popping out the bottom of the machine like a candy bar. So is God healing people in our country? Yes. Yes. We're afraid of what we may have to go through in order to be healed. And you could say that personally. You can even say that nationally, right? In terms of all the stuff, okay? Because there's a lot of vitriol, there's a lot of ugliness, there's a lot of cancer in the country, okay? People and their attitudes and anyway, just everything. We, among all people, have to be sure that we have a solid foundation that we believe that this God that we serve is willing to do what he said he would do. And we have to trust him. And like Ms. Willette said, we better be ready to persevere. We better be ready to endure whatever it takes. And the question is, are we willing to take that step? The other part of that is, do we not see him healing us because we don't see how he's working? Because we aren't spending the time with him that we ought to spend. And we don't know the way he works. And so when he does what he does, it's invisible to us. Because we haven't done all that daily relationship building. Now, that's a good analogy. That spending time with God can be like having cataract surgery. I've never had cataracts, but just the idea of the veil and the being not being able to see and then having that removed and then being able to see. Yes. It is last week in what we talked about, lifting up our face to the Lord, continuing to keep our attention and our focus on Jesus. It is that is who we are to be focused on, because that is who we are to become like. And the moment we begin to forget that that is who we are to become like, then we begin to doubt. And we don't see the purpose and we don't see the reason anymore. If we remembered that Jesus suffered and died and rose again, then we'll realize that we too are going to probably suffer and die and rise again. And if we're supposed to be more like Him, then that's just academic. The part that's supposed to change is our hearts. All that stuff's going to be just like Jesus. So it's our hearts that have to change, and our attitudes that have to change. And you know, and I'm way too grumpy way too often. Okay? Once I've been through 2 days of school at Savannah State, folks, I'm as grumpy as I can possibly be. I just got to tell you. Because people aren't doing what I've told them they need to do. They don't call me when they don't come, or text me or email me whenever what they've been told to do. Then they'll come back 2 weeks later and act like everything's hunky-dory. That's not the way it works. I get really grumpy. But the reason I get real grumpy is because I care about them and it bugs me. It's not because it just caused me trouble. It's because they have placed themselves in a situation and they didn't have to. And then I remember raising my hand. No, pardon me. I remember teaching 8th grade in 1983-84 in Atlanta, Georgia, when my 8th graders were driving me crazy. Because we were reading a story, and every time I explained something 4 times, and they kept raising their hands and asking the same blooming question over and over and over again. And then God hit me upside the head with one of Larry Spears 2x4s in the back. And y'all knew Brother Larry. He talks about 2x4s a lot. Okay. Well, and God reminded me, Rick, you're just like this with me. I keep telling you and telling you and telling you, and you keep raising your hand and asking the same stupid question over and over again. I'm no different. Okay, what does all this have to do? Let me ask you one question, and those of you who remember your Bible. What was it that God used to get the message out of Jerusalem and into other parts of the Roman world? What did God use? Persecution. Yuck. Okay? Now, you and I think that, you know, that's big and bad and more than we can bear. But, as Becky pointed out, the reality is that's just our human fleshly view. From God's point of view, from what He's doing, it is the least amount of pain He can inflict in order to motivate us to seek Him and pursue Him and serve Him and be the shining light that we're not right now. We have placed ourselves on our own pedestal. And we now are our own God, I think, in our nation, broadly. In that people will give lip service to serving a God that they have created in their own image to satisfy their own selfish, self-centered lifestyle. I think that's generally the truth. Obviously, there's always people who don't fit that. But I think as a corporate, we assume that things are just going to keep moving along the way they've always moved along. Have we lost our power? We as believers have lost our power. Yeah. No. Okay, well, I agree with that viewpoint and the way you're saying it, because it's latent. It's there, but it is not exercised, and it is not used. All right, let's let that sit. It's us, okay? We have to humble ourselves, pray, seek God's face. If you want to know where to start, humble yourself. Pray and seek God's face. You can't seek God's face in 5 minutes. It just won't work. In fact, you know what I've come to realize? Is that for me, it's hard for me to seek God's face inside a building. It's just the way I'm wired, the way I am. I can, but for some reason, it's hard for me to do it. Okay? Sometimes I have to be outside looking at the stars, or I have to be looking at the trees, and I have to be watching the birds fly. For some reason, I can see, I can perceive and understand and take in God's presence and who He is better for me. Okay? All right. Second question. See, we haven't even got past the first screen. I knew this was going to be interesting. So how have you seen God heal? He saved you. Any way you can talk, anything that you can come to bring to bear. Maybe it's a relationship that was healed. Maybe it was a physical healing. Maybe it was something that was wrong, was set right. Okay, give me one. I'm not saying you can't do it. I just want you to think of one. Okay. Bobby's got no kidney stones. Had kidney stones.